Turn to the 14th chapter of Job and the 10th verse. Job, the 14th chapter, the 10th verse. Now, before you read that, I want to read to you from the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the 10th verse. This is the one verse that's used more than any other verse in the Bible by the men who seem to get much satisfaction out of their teaching of the unconscious state of both the saved and the unsaved person between death and resurrection. The 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the 10th verse. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I'm sure that everybody in here ought to know the difference between your hand and your soul. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with the might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And that's the verse that Pastor Russell and his successor, Judge Rutherford, and Frank and Ernest, if you've heard them, and Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists, and the disciples, I'm sorry to say, of Dr. Bullinger, Charles Welch, and all these men, they use that verse of Scripture to teach that we're unconscious in a state of complete oblivion between death and resurrection. In the 14th chapter of Job, the 10th verse, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Now we read in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. We read that Ananias gave up the ghost. We read that Sapphira, his wife, gave up the ghost. We read that Herod in the 12th chapter of Acts gave up the ghost. And it says here, man dieth, man wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? I just came again from the side of our dear brother Hibbard, who was here, as I told you, 3-4 years before I became pastor. I think so far as any man is concerned, he's the oldest one. No, brother, well, he and brother Briggs about the same time. You're not here, Brother Ralph, are you? No. Is he? Who was here first, you or Doc? 1990. Then you were here before he was, I guess. He said he was here 36 years. We're up there, and the doctor's baffled. He said last night he didn't think he could live through the night. Now he said he has such strong heart, although his pulse is getting very weak. If he would give his opinion, medical opinion, he'd say, well, I think he'll go tonight. But he said, I've known him to live 4 or 5 or 6 days. What he said, humanly speaking, there is no way for him to live. And he's been unconscious totally, and you'd stand by the side of the bed and watch him. And then think of this verse of Scripture. He's wholly unconscious. But he's entirely different now than he will be when he breathes his last. When he gives up the ghost, as we have it in the language. And it's very interesting to notice this expression. It's exsucho. P-S-U-C-H-O is the soul. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither can he discern them. The word psychology, everything today, the scientists talk about psychology. They're talking about the mind of man. But the word really comes from psycho, and it has to do with the soul, and they don't know anything about it. Because if you do not get it from the Bible, you'll never understand. It's a great mystery. What is the soul? I had a man in here one night. He was an intern at the Presbyterian Hospital. I was speaking along this line, and he said, "I don't believe any of that stuff." He said, "I made an experiment. I've been interested." He said, There was a man dying down at the Presbyterian Hospital, and he said, "I put him on the scales and weighed him about 5 minutes before he died and about 5 minutes after." And he said, "There wasn't an ounce difference in the weight. Therefore, if his soul was gone, the soul didn't have any weight." Whoever said the soul had a weight? Well, that's all the natural man can do. And nobody has an answer. You know, I've said this many times. If I had the only answer and could prove that I had the answer to this question, I could be a multi-billionaire. If you were the one person who had the answer to the question, "Where are the dead?" and you could prove that you had the answer, well, people would come to you. Well, if you have the answer, the great majority of the people whose loved ones have died, they really wouldn't want the right scriptural answer. You remember what the apostle said? "I would not have you sorrow even as others which have no hope." Those that have no hope, those whose souls are lost, they have no hope. And perhaps they wouldn't want to know where their loved one is. I was in Fort Worth, Texas, preaching one time, and a very fine woman. And she had lost her husband. And they said he was one of the most benevolent, charitable, philanthropic men, a moral, upright man, really an example in moral conduct. But he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I was preaching to her for several nights, and she was under such conviction, she was almost perspiring. My, she was trembling with conviction. And she came to me and she said, "I love my husband so much that if he isn't in heaven, I don't want to go there. And because of the uncertainty of the condition of her husband when he died, she refused to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior." It is a wonderful thing to have the knowledge that all your loved ones are saved and you're going to be in heaven and glory together forever. Wonderful to know that. Now man wasteth away and giveth up the ghost, and where is it? Let me read to you about three men over in the 16th chapter of Numbers. I wonder how long since you read this. The 16th chapter of Numbers at the 26th verse. "And Moses spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works. For I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all of their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel was round about them, and fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Now where were they? Let's go over to the book of Acts and see these men who gave up the ghost, who died in the book of Acts. And first we have Judas. Now there are a great many people that believe that Judas is being preserved in a very special place and that he will be brought back to be the Antichrist. And they believe that because only Judas and the Antichrist who is coming, only these two, each is called in the Bible the son of perdition. And there is a very peculiar statement in the first chapter of Acts concerning Judas, if you have your Bible, notice. In the 25th verse, Matthias was chosen to take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now when Judas died, he went to his own place. If you should die tonight and you'd go to your own place, what would that place be? It wouldn't be the funeral parlor. That's the earthly house of this tabernacle. Now let's remember this, that when God made man in his own image, he did not make him in his physical image. That had nothing to do with the image of God. That earthly tabernacle was made out of clay. God made a house of clay. But Adam was in the image of God before he had a body, a tabernacle for him to dwell in. He was made in the image and likeness of God. And we're told that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now when God gets through with his new creation, body, soul, and spirit, we're going to be fully conformed to the image of God's Son. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And after you become a new creation, or at the time you do, you become identified with Christ. You're baptized into his death. You're buried with him by baptism. You're raised to walk in newness of life. And he says, yield yourself unto God as those who are alive from the dead. Romans 6:13. Alive from the dead. And then in Philippians 3 it says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, who will change these bodies of humiliation, that they may be fashioned like unto his body of glory. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we're going to be fully conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is a Christ one. And he was the firstborn from the dead. And he was the firstfruits of them that slept. And as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Now in the 10th chapter of John, we cannot understand why the King James translators did not translate the word as it is. But where the Lord Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it up again. It's not life at all. It's suke, soul. Now get this. The Lord Jesus Christ had power to lay down his soul. He had power to take up his soul again. In the first chapter of Acts, we have a quotation from the book of Psalms, where David was quoted that God would not suffer his Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, to see corruption. Neither would he leave his soul in Hades. And then we read that the Lord Jesus Christ spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. But when he gave up the ghost, the word psuche is not used, the word spirit. As we said in Isaiah 53:10, we have the key to the whole thing, I believe. And it's unfortunate, again, we do not have the translation as it should be. There it says that in the Lord's death, he made his grave with the wicked in his death. D-E-A-T-H-S. In the Hebrew, there's a plural there. What does it mean that Jesus Christ had more than one death? He had a physical death and he had a soul death. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. I have power to lay down my soul and take it up again. And if he would not leave his soul in Hades, then his soul must have gone to Hades. In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, he says, I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have two keys. I have the key of death and I have the key of Hades. And in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, we read that death and Hades are going to be cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life will go there. Death and Hades. Now, if you want to be not numbered with death and Hades that go to the lake of fire, then you must come and accept the one who has the keys of death and Hades. He says in the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, the 46th verse, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then you remember he said, Touch me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. His body went into the sepulcher of Joseph of Arimathea. In the 13th chapter of Acts, when the apostle Paul was speaking there in Antioch, he said, David, when he had served his life, he fell on sleep and he went to corruption. But I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he never saw corruption. God would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption, neither would he leave his soul in hell. And Peter said the same thing in the second of Acts. He says, David's sepulcher is with us unto this day. But this one has been raised up in fulfillment of David's prophecy to take the throne of David. And while they were standing there, they saw the Lord Jesus go from the Mount of Olives, and he went up into heaven. And he's not one day older today than he was when he went up there 1,930 years ago. 1,926 years. He's been up in heaven. He's the glorified man at God's right hand. If there isn't a man up there, then Paul says, our preaching is vain, our hope is vain, all our good works are in vain. And he said, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But now Christ has been raised. And he says, because of that, you and I can say this, O death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? There's another mistake. It shouldn't be grave. That word is Hades. That's hell. There's a certain victory for the grave. Oh, hell, where is thy victory? Hell will, now you'll not be the victim of hell and not have victory over you if you come to the one who has the keys of death and Hades. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, his body went to Joseph's sepulcher. His soul went to Hades. His spirit went to be with God. But when you come to the others, turn to the 7th chapter. The second man that died in the book of Acts was Stephen. The 7th chapter of the book of Acts, notice in the 59th verse, the last two verses there, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell asleep. Or ever the silver cord is loosed to the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel at the cistern, then shall the body return to the earth as it was, and the spirit of God which gave it. Now here we have just what we have with the Lord Jesus. Here it's talking about the Spirit. Lord Jesus, receive my Spirit. And when the Lord gave up the ghost, the word there is not the word sukkah, it's the word Spirit. Now turn to the 5th chapter of the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. There was a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Now these were not lost people. They lied to the Holy Spirit and they lied to God, and Satan filled their heart, but they were saved. They were like those in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. They were delivered to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of Christ. No man durst add himself to the company. These people were added to the company. They were added by the Lord. But they lied to the Holy Spirit. Notice, they kept back part of the price of their property, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Very simple word. Ek means out. Suki soul. Exuki. His soul went out of him. His soul went out of him. Exuki. Now that's what's going to happen when you leave this world. Exuki. Your soul will go out. And notice what it says here. The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered and said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband, are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and she yielded up the ghost. Exuke. You have it again in the 12th chapter, after Herod had had a wonderful time. Herod killed James with a sword, and because Easter was in between, and he wanted to please the Jews in their religious and the others in their religious holiday, feast day, he said, well, we'll wait for a couple of days and then I'll kill Peter. In the meantime, the angel of the Lord came and took Peter out of the prison. And notice what happened to Herod. And in the 20th verse of the 12th chapter, Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of God, a God and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote Herod, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Exuke, out went his soul. There was a rich man, you remember, that said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build larger barns. And then I'm going to get all that I need for the rest of my life. And I'm going to say to my soul, take ease now, you're going to have a good time. But the Lord said, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? And that rich man, Exuke, his soul went out, and it went to Hades. You know the word Hades, if you get it, it's the word D-E-O means to see. Adeo means not to see. And we put the H there because the H belonged there. Hades means a place unseen. Now where Hades is, it's just as much a mystery as the soul. But we do know that death and Hades are going to be cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. But you don't go to Hades when you die. There's a beautiful expression in the 20th chapter of Acts where it says they went down and took ship and went out to sea. And that's the same thought. It's the same Greek word in Philippians 1 where the apostle Paul says, I'm in a strait fixed two desires. You need me to stay here in the body and minister to you. You need my services. But as far as I'm concerned, he said, it is far better to depart than to be with the Lord. It's a beautiful thought when you get it in the Greek. It is much more better to set out to sea to be with the Lord. Humanly speaking, I doubt if our dear brother will be alive when we make our next announcement on Wednesday night. But I want to tell you, my dear friend, Doc Hibbard was a man, as long as I've known him, on the surface, he'd have a good time and go here, but all the time, Doc Hibbard was homesick for heaven. I never knew a man that was more concerned about his spiritual welfare and where he was going. And it may be before we gather here Wednesday, he's going to set out to sea to be with the Lord. And his body will go to corruption. But he's not going to corruption. And his soul is not going with the worms. My dear friend, God tells us in Ephesians 2:5-7, listen to it. You hath he made alive who were dead, and he has raised you up and made you sit down in the heavenlies in Christ. And that word sit down is the same word, Greek word, where it says that Jesus went down and sat down at the table to eat with those Pharisee. You and I have been made to sit down in the heavenlies in Christ. That hasn't anything to do with our body. What is your life? It's only like a vapor. When you go to die, my dear friend, it'll be like a ship in the night. Everything just like this, and everything that hasn't been done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be like wood, hay, and stubble. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? As the apostle gives you the answer in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians to the question in Job 14:10, man wasteth away, man giveth up the ghost, where is he? Well, the sinner goes to Hades and finally to the lake of fire. Where does the saint go? He said, absent from the body is present with the Lord, and the Lord's not down where the worms are. Our Lord is up there, and Stephen saw him and he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And I want to show you the strongest passage also with that of Judas. If Judas went to his own place, my dear friend. It wasn't talking about Judas' body, you know that. It's talking about his soul. The Apostle Paul in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, referring undoubtedly to his experience at Lystra. You know, when he performed those miracles and people were saved and the Gentiles and Jews, In the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, they came from the other town, from Antioch, and they came over and they stoned him to death. And they said, he's a dead man, he won't bother us anymore. And they took him out to the edge of the town and left his body there, and they watched enough to see whether he was dead. And I believe he was dead. I don't know. He didn't know. But he said 14 years later, 14 years ago, I had a visit and was caught away to the third heavens in paradise. He said, whether I was in the body, I do not know, or whether I was out of the body. If he had all of that conversation with the Lord and he was out of his body, then that's the end to any teaching such as soul sleeping. How anybody can get any comfort out of that damnable heathen doctrine, I don't know. When you pass out of death into life and you're raised up and you're seated together in the heavenlies, your citizenship is there and you're waiting for the Savior to come. But the all-important thing is to have a hope laid up in heaven. There may be some like the man I told you about down on the corner. He was a strange character when we used to hold street meeting. He stopped there almost every time we'd hold a meeting. And two fellows were disturbing us there one night, and this fellow walked up and got him by the collar, and he led him out of the way. And he said, don't you go there and disturb that preacher anymore. I'll take care of you. And he'd listened to that. And about a week after that, I sat at the table over at the entree, and there he was. We were eating together. I said, how long have you been a saved man? He said, Mr. O'Hare, I must confess to you, I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved. I said, you mean to tell me you get down there and protect me while I'm preaching the gospel to others and you're not saved? He said, I like to hear you preach, and I think you're doing a good work. Then I had the joy, as we did this morning when the boy came back there, the young man. He was all ready for plucking. Brother Levy had him all ready, and his friends were praying. And I said, he came back there confirmed. And I said, you want to be saved, don't you? And he said, I certainly do. I said, do you believe you're a guilty sinner before God? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ settled the sin question and you can be saved? I do. I said, you have to receive him, don't you? He said, will you? He said, I certainly will. That's the matter. As many as received him. But of course, it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, not with your head. And then the Lord will raise you up, and he puts you in the heavenlies, and your citizenship will be there. And doesn't make any difference whether the bombs come or what fall. Absent from the body is at home in the Lord. Then in the ages to come, he'll show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to ask if you're saved. You ask yourself, am I saved? What a pity we have. We preach enough gospel here to preach to save all of Chicago, but we don't get sinners in. We're pretty much asleep, aren't we? Not easy to get them out. Mr. Rudy got three of them and got them on the front seat this morning. And if all of us will work like that and try to get them in here under the sound of the gospel's never lost its power. But we can preach here and to a lot of saved people. We're not going to get the people in the neighborhood saved if we don't get to preach it to them. I don't know how we're going to do it. It's a real problem.